Mason Vera Payne.
ISK is a group that has established themselves as an emerging force in creativity and performance. Lead vocalist of ISK, Irene Sierra, discusses the importance of songwriting in the group's collaborative process. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
So could you tell me about your group? What does ISK stand for?
So ISK actually stands for my name, Irene Sierra Quartet. So we used sort of the initials because we really wanted to get a band feel rather than sort of a soloist feel. So we just decided to use the initials and just call ourselves ISK.
Oh, that is so cool. So how many members are in your band?
We're a quartet. So it's myself on vocals. We have Richard Sadler on the double bass, Nadia Sharif on piano, and Chris Nichols on the drums. The third album is a little bit more electronic, so we have all our sort of toys on stage. You know, when we do have performances, sort of synths and, electronic drum pads and bass pedals and all sorts. But yeah, it's a quartet.
So how did you all find each other?
We sort of all knew each other already on the London jazz scene. I think I met Nadia, the pianist, probably at one of the first gigs that I ever did in London. And then I think Richard, maybe a few years before we sort of, you know, started the band. So we all sort of knew each other already from the jazz scene, and we all played together in different outfits. And I just, you know, I really loved playing with them in all sorts of different circumstances. So when Richard, who's the double bass player, and I had, you know, kind of we talked about it and we really wanted to get the band together, we definitely had, you know, our first choices, and, we asked them.
Nice. So now that you're all a group, how do you guys agree on the overall sound of the music?
So the writing is really a collaborative process. So we mostly all write. I think this last album, the third album, it was music written by myself, Richard, the double bass player, and Chris, the drummer. And then what happens is basically I'll either have, you know, a vocal idea, or I'll have some music, or they will send me over some music, some ideas that they had, and I'll see if I can write over it. And we kind of just keep sending it backwards and forwards, and they add more ideas, and then I add more ideas, till we sort of have, you know, a piece of music, more or less, that, you know, sits together. And then we kind of bring it to rehearsal, and we workshop it there if it needs some more workshopping, or, you know, the tune just beautifully plays itself. That's definitely more rare, but it does happen. So yeah, it's really a collaborative process. And then while we're workshopping it at rehearsals, you know, someone will say, oh, maybe this bit will sound better like this, or, you know, we should do this. So yeah, we keep it very open.
Now, it sounds like everybody gets a say in how a piece will sound. Is the process long, though?
Totally depends. For some tunes, longer than for others. It's kind of like writing, I suppose. You know, some tunes, I'll write them really quickly. Some tunes take a lot longer. And I think the wonderful thing, especially of sort of coming from a jazz background, is that even in performance, the tunes will keep growing. So perhaps if you hear some material from our first album, you hear sort of the recorded studio version, and then you come to see us live, it will possibly sound, you know, quite different from the original tune that we recorded, because we like the fact that it can keep changing. We don't want to keep anything, you know, sort of too static, because it keeps it exciting for us, and I think it keeps it exciting, you know, for the audience.
Now, I'm glad you said jazz, because you guys labeled yourself as alt jazz. What is that?
Yeah. So alt jazz, it was really funny because it was actually one of the first reviews we ever got after we released the first album. And one of the reviewers said, oh, this is alt jazz at its finest. So I guess alt jazz sort of stands for alternative jazz. So for me, that sort of stands for, so it has to have a jazz approach. I think it has to have improvisation. Also, I think instrumentation is, you know, it's quite important as well. So, you know, to all effects, we have sort of a jazz quartet instrumentation. And then I think it has to have, you know, other influences, the sort of alternative jazz. And we all have other influences that come into play. And it's not, you know, it's not swung. It's not traditional jazz music that swings. So, that's what I think alt jazz is.
Now, for you personally, I know that you said you're the lead singer and you write, but do you play any instruments at all?
Yeah, I play the piano. So I've just introduced when we were touring the third album, I was playing synth on stage as well. Yeah, so I play the piano, and that's, I suppose, how I mostly compose. I do sometimes go to the computer and sort of boot up Logic and then, you know, trial some ideas there. But most of the time, it's kind of, yeah, vocals and piano. I bought a guitar like 6 months ago, so I'm kind of playing around with that. It's quite interesting because I'm really limited on guitar. I mean, I really, you know, I've only been playing it and you know, I'm not very good at all. So I kind of chose to do that from a writing perspective. Because it just makes me write very, very differently if you know, I write on an instrument that I really don't know very well at all. So, but yes, I'm much more comfortable on piano.
Could you tell me about the LAS Urchin remix single?
Yeah, so basically the LAS, you know, the Urchin remix comes from an album that we're we're going to release at the end of May. So basically during lockdown, the first lockdown here in the UK, which was in March, we'd luckily just finished the tour. So we, you know, we'd always had this idea of wanting to do a remix of one of our songs, but we'd never quite gotten around to it. We never really found the person that, you know, we wanted to do a remix. And so, you know, when we had sort of time on our hands, I was speaking to Richard, the double bass player, and we're like, oh, maybe now would be a good time, you know, to do a remix because it is something that you can do remotely. And so we just had a little thought about, you know, perhaps some of the people that, you know, we might have wanted to contact. And then when we saw that actually, you know, the lockdown was kind of dragging on and we didn't know how long it was going to last for, we're like, well, why don't we actually remix the whole, you know, third album, which was the one that we had released in September 2019. Because also on that album, there's 7 full-length tracks and then 7 little interludes that we'd written. And they were sort of, you know, musical ideas that we had explored but not fully explored. So it was sort of an album that kind of we kind of wanted to still be, you know, explored, I suppose. So then we had the idea of, you know, doing a remix of all the individual tunes on the album in that order. And then we had a little think about, you know, okay, who do we want to ask? And so we kind of got our wish list and everybody basically said yes. And Urchin was one of the people that we got in touch with. He was a very good friend of Chris Nichols, our drummer. And so when we sort of asked Chris and Nadia, oh, do you know anybody who would be interested in, you know, taking this material and doing a remix that worked in the electronic genre? Chris came up and said, oh, yeah, I have this really good friend. I had already actually heard of Urchin. I had heard some of his music. And so then I popped him an email and I said, do you want to collaborate with us? And he's like, yeah, that'd be amazing. And so then I sent him through a few tracks for him to play around with. And then he decided on LAS. And so then he did the remix.
Now, with the pandemic, was it harder to collaborate, or was this something that was a little bit easier to do because, you know, everybody's at home?
Yeah, so I think for this particular album, it was in a way easier to do because everybody that we've, you know, that we contacted, first of all, you know, incredible musicians in their own right, they would have been very busy, especially, you know, touring and DJing. So in a way, it was easier to do because, you know, everybody that we contacted had the time, you know, to spend on this remix. And also, doing a remix is something that you can do in the studio. So everybody could just rely on themselves. Because at that point, the lockdown was, it was the first lockdown, so you couldn't really even see other people. Whereas now, obviously, you know, I think you can, you can rehearse if it's a professional outfit. So it worked better in that respect. And that's why also we decided to do this particular album. Had we been in the middle of doing one of our normal albums, where obviously we have to, you know, record things also acoustically and we all have to be in the same room together, that would have proved massively more difficult. So it was a little bit of a blessing in disguise, this album, because actually it sort of worked perfectly, you know, because we just, everybody worked on the remix in their own time, in their own studios, and then they would just send through, you know, the finished track.
Okay, I have to ask, because you've said this so many times, Richard, he's a double bass player. What is a double bass player? Because I want you to imagine what I'm seeing in my head is 1980s, where they have the guitar with two, like, you know, two handles, and they're just going at it. Is that the double bass?
No. A double bass is just a string instrument. It's like you would see in a classical orchestra. So it kind of looks like a really big cello, and you play it for the most part standing up. So it's just like, you know, let's say a massive violin, and it's very used. I mean, it's one of the sort of more traditional instruments in a jazz formation, and it's kind of like the original bass, I suppose. So it's just a really, you know, big instrument, wooden body, you know, four strings, and it's sometimes known as an upright bass rather than an electric bass, which obviously came a lot later.
I'm disappointed it's not the double-handled guitar.
Yeah. Although you do get really quite, you know, cool. So Richard was touring it's called an acoustic bass, but it looks like it's sort of without a body. Because obviously the double bass is really quite difficult to tour with, just because it's so big and it's, you know, cumbersome and it's heavy. So, and also he was using a lot of the electronic pedals, you know, during our last tour. So he has, it's called like a stick bass. So maybe if you want to Google it afterwards, but it looks pretty cool. It's basically almost the same size of a double bass. And you just it doesn't have the body, but it just has, you know, the neck and you know, the four strings. So I think it's probably comparable to the double neck guitar that you might have in your head. So definitely go check it out, the stick bass. It's, I think, a Yamaha stick bass.
Wow. So you're right. The way the album sounds versus live, that really is like two different songs. And that's really cool, though, because you get a whole new experience.
Yeah. So I think it was really great for us to kind of hear, you know, what other people hear in our music, both from you know, a musician's point of view, for the, you know, musicians that have worked, collaborated on this album and remixed the tracks. And also it was really great to kind of put it out there and just have a different spin on our music, so that all our fans who have, you know, bought the third album, and we really toured the third album, so we really knew the music well. So it was great also, you know, for people that knew our music from the album or from a live gig, to now, you know, have this possibility to just completely see it through the lens of, you know, another musician working in another genre, and just kind of doing their own spin on a track. I love it. I love it when I hear a remix, and I really love the remix, and then I always go check out the original track. Or perhaps, you know, I really love a track that I've heard, and then I hear a really great remix of it. You know, because then you're like, oh, I know this song, but it's also just also become something else. So, yeah.
What upcoming projects are you guys working on?
We're really literally in the middle of, you know, working on, well, releasing this album. So LAS was the first single that we released. We released that about a week and a half ago, Friday the 5th of February. So we're releasing three more singles from the album, sort of one every month now. And then we're going to release the full album at the end of May. So that's really taking up, I think, most of our time. And it's great because it's also, we're kind of crossing over into a world that, you know, we don't know, you know, as much. And it's just been really, the feedback's been amazing. And it's just been, yeah, really interesting to hear, you know, to hear people connect with the music that perhaps wouldn't have found our music in any other way, because they might not, you know, it basically, yeah, they might not have an alt jazz band as their first thought, but then maybe they hear the remix, they're like, oh, this is really cool. And then they kind of want to know more about us. And so they find us that way. So it's been really, really interesting to just kind of reach a different fan base, I suppose.
What are some things that we can expect from you guys in the future?
So we are actually already working on our next album. We like to keep busy. So, yeah, so we've already started writing for that. It's still very much in the early stages. So we're not sure which direction it's going to go. It's still at that point, you know, kind of really at the initial stages that you never really know how the album, you know, which way the album's going to go. So we're really excited about that. And we're going to take our time with that. And then we have some gigs lined up, fingers crossed, for the summer. It will be amazing if, you know, they can actually really happen. And then we sort of have, you know, while we're releasing this album, we're going to have Facebook Live with all the collaborators. So the next single we're going to release, which is the 5th of March, we're going to have a Facebook Live on our Facebook page where I'm, you know, I interview the collaborator and then they play their track, you know, the day that it's released. So, yeah, we've got quite a few things coming up, both sort of online and then hopefully in person.
Well, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find out more about you and your group?
We're sort of on all the sort of, you know, social media outlets. So obviously our website, so www.iskmusic.com. So ISK is spelt ISQ and then music.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, Instagram, and the social media handle is just at ISK Music. So you can, yeah, basically, you know, find us in all the usual outlets.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.